Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Monday, July 9th, 2018. Excuse me. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 83, the fourth paragraph. We're reading and commenting on three sentences, starting with, if we are painstaking about this phase, and ending with, we will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. Today's readers are Leslie M. for the 12 Steps, Melissa C.K. for the 12 Traditions, Kathy Jo P., Kathleen O., Ginger C., and Melanie C. for our newcomer greeter. The reference number for the 8:30 a.m. special edition meeting yesterday for Sunday, July 8, 2018, is 11633. That's 11,633. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting for Monday, July 9, 2018 is 11636. That's 11,636. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Leslie M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. And I'll now ask Melissa C.K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Melissa C.K. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much for this opportunity to do service, and I hope you all have a great day. I pass.
Thank you very much, Melissa C.K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 83, and we're reading just the first part of the fourth paragraph. I'll ask Kathy Jo P. to please begin reading. Star one.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P. Can
Thank
I be
you.
Heard?
Yes, you can. Thanks.
Okay. Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Oh, what an honor to be able to read part of the promises. I came back to OA after being gone for 22 years, about 6 years ago, I came back. And part of my not wanting to come back is I didn't want to face that I had left. It's like I was in a blackout. For 22 years, I was out there as reckless as you can imagine, tipping the scale over 300 pounds, constantly in conflict with others. And I just did not want to face up to the music. And I really see it as a promise right away for me, because when I came back, I was not thinking about the past anymore. I was in the moment, in the hour, in the wanting to have what so many had as they reached out their arms to help me. And I was a person that literally 5 days a week called someone and would spend up to 90 minutes on the phone with them, telling them everything wrong with my life and how everyone was constantly wronging me and how I was worried about this and that and the other thing. And I can tell you that is absolutely not a part of my life anymore. I no longer have pity parties. I no longer have a list of things that I'm upset about. I don't have time for that as I work this program and count my gratitudes and try to be of service to others. One of the very first things that left for me when I came in 2 years ago to the Rooms of Vision for You and let go of all of my alcoholic foods is the desire to overeat and the desire to eat the foods that did not work for me. One more thing before I pass here is about 3 months into this process, I was having my daughter's birthday party, and I was a hot mess. I was working on my fourth step, and I had forgot to bring the treats to the swimming pool, so I had to go get them in the middle of the party and left my husband and my son to watch the girls. And I hit a truck in the parking lot, and I called a fellow, and I was disturbed. And I was telling her everything wrong with my day, and she interrupted me, and she said, "Kathy Jo, when you reach out to fellows, what if you started the conversation by asking, how are the promises working for you in your life today? And if you want to hear more about that story, give me a call when you can, and I would love to share it with you." But I can tell you, again, that helped me posture myself in a way to want to know the miracle of this program. And we connect through the solution rather than the problem by telling each other how these promises are working for us, and so that we can live in this newfound in happiness a day at a time. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy Jo P. Great start to an important group of sentences today. Who would like to comment on them?
Lena S.
Ginger
Boston.
Oh. Kathleen O.
All right. Hang on just a minute, please. I heard somebody S.
Tina.
Tina S. Ginger C. Katie G. Kathleen O. And one more, but I'm not sure who. Or maybe two more. Did I miss anybody? All right. Let's go with Tina S., Ginger C., Katie G., and Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Tina, followed by Ginger.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Thanks for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great day to pick up and be on this line. You know, I've changed my work schedule, so I haven't had the opportunity to listen live, except for I'm off today. And, you know, if we are painstaking, you know, and one of the things that I wanted when I first got here were the promises up on the wall. You know, I'm sorry, the promises that were read. You know, what I didn't do was work the steps that they posted up on the wall, you know. And through my experiences, when I worked the steps in the book laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, exactly the way it was written and in that order, you know, these things came true for me before I was halfway through the 9-step promises. And that's what it is, you know. And, you know, one of the things that I know today is that I do have a new freedom and I do have a new happiness. And I don't regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. When I'm doing the deal one day at a time, when I'm in self, you know, I don't have a new freedom and I don't have a new happiness, and I regret all that stuff. You know, so my experience tells me one day at a time, if I suit up and I show up, you know, and I do this deal, you know, for me, number one is to be abstinent and to carry this message to those who still suffer, you know, and I work for God. You know, when I do this stuff, it works for me, you know, and I always say this and I say it for myself. I'm a person of more, so I'm going to keep coming back because I want more. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tina F. Ginger C., you're up next, followed by Katie G.
Thanks, Elaine, and thanks for your service. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just love this sentence. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. You know, and this all began back on page 62 because I quit playing God. I have a new director in my life today. And because of tapping into that source, ideas and emotions and attitudes, which once were the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side. And a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. I am less about me and more about you. This selfishness, this self-centeredness that has to be leveled, you know, this ego, this pride. If I take it down, then God can come in and do miraculous things. You know, so thank God for how this work happens, you know, and it is this nine-step promise. It was that nine-step amends to my mother that opened my heart in a way that I didn't think my heart could open. And to me, that is what life is about, being in love and connection to others. Disease and addiction is all about isolation. I, self, me, and my pain, and my eating. But because of this work, following it precisely, these clear-cut directions, I get to be now with patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And it's no longer about my show, my little plans and designs. God, who would you have me be? What would you have me do? And I have to tell you, real life stuff happens, and I get to still practice these principles. So when my son came home the other day with a tattoo on his body, at first I was taken back. But then I just got to show him love and be in connection to this experience because it's his life. And when I'm making him more about me, like who's sicker? When I'm in somebody else's lane, there's something going on for me, this disturbance. What's going on for me? Do my work. But thank God I got to take a step back because that tattoo was to honor his best friend that died 2 years ago that he sees as a guardian angel. And he told this boy while they were working out one day at Gold's Gym, we're going to get tattoos one day. But this boy is no longer alive. And my son got to honor that wish. And I got to hear the story unfold because I had love in my heart. Not an angry mom meeting him at the door, what the hell are you thinking? So thank God for this work because our lives... Most importantly, there's so many that are suffering right now on this line and outside that door. And if I'm not with God in my heart with this beautiful light that shines from God, people can't see and they're in the dark and they need to see today that there is hope. You can go through this thing called life and not eat. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. Katie G., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Thanks, Elaine. Would you mind timing me? That would be great.
Not to talk.
Awesome. KG recovered compulsive overeater and anorexic and bulimic. All right. So the first issue I have, right, is painstaking. Like, I don't want to work. I remember when I first heard the promises, I was like, yeah, I'm abstinent. The promises, they're mine, right? But no, like, we got to do work. This takes grit. Showing up every day and not eating and doing the work and making amends. So that's what this is. The promises come through when? Before we are halfway through what? The amends. Let's be clear on that. Let's be totally clear and honest. We got to do the work. The other thing that's really popping up for me, a new freedom and a new happiness. So what does Katie G want? I want freaking like Orlando, Disney World, like higher than a kite happiness, joy, ecstasy all the time. Yeah, that's not me today. You know, like this morning I'm sitting in gratitude for God, for the abstinence that I have, and for the sponsor that I have, and the knowledge that I did okay this weekend, and I messed up a lot. I messed up a lot, and I'm on step one in some Al-Anon issues, and that's okay. Because I'm free from the food and I'm free from other character defects. And I know and I trust that God will change me. And that is happiness. Like I don't need a ticker tape parade to get through my day anymore. I am free. I don't obsess about numbers and calories and my body weight and exercise. And you know what? When I do, what do? I help others. I help others, right? And I thought that happiness would only come when I got what I want. And how did God destroy that for me? He gave me what I want. Oh my gosh, y'all, I'm sitting here in a house with a hubs and a baby. And these are like the desires of my heart. And guess what? KG is still here showing up in the rooms. Because it's not an external solution. I have an internal problem. Lack of power is my dilemma, right? Who is going to solve that for me inside? God, right? I share this with people. One of the hardest days of my life was the day after I got married. Why? because I realized that even though I was married, I was still Katie G from Boston. But isn't that awesome, right? Because then I have a need for God still. And that's all this program is about. Step one, powerlessness. Katie G, you don't have power, you need God. You don't have power, you need God. And that's awesome. So hang on to your socks. Like, God is going to redefine you over and over again. And the happiness comes from within. And it becomes a fact. No matter what loss and grief I have faced in this program, each and every day I have known happiness. Because I'm surrounded by God and all of you. And I just, it's a miracle. I'm going to keep coming. Thanks.
Thank you, Katie G. Kathleen O, you're up next, and then we'll open to some more shares.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive reader in Northern California. Thank you for your service, Elaine. It is so great to be on the line with all of you who get this. So, you know, when I was a little girl, I was about 5, and my mother signed me up for tap dancing classes. And I said, you know, and I was in the classes for a long time, but I was always a step behind everybody. And I said to my mom, I said, you know, Mom, I can't do this. And she said, honey, you have to put some effort into it. You have to practice. And, of course, I didn't want to practice, so I just wore these cute little outfits with shoes that made really cool noises, but I never could dance. And when I was in program, and I'm using this as an analogy, because when I was in program, I was abstinent. I was abstinent for, you know, 7 years, and I would hear of the promises of the program, and I'd listen to these promises of the program, and the new happiness I had was that I was in a normal sized body. But, you know, really the rest of it wasn't really doing anything, because I was not putting any effort. I was not painstaking. I was not putting any effort into doing these steps. And so truly, thank you, Vision, because it took Vision for me to realize that these promises come after working step 9. So how did I miss that? You know, the first 7 years in program, I don't know, but I don't feel too badly, because I still hear people mumble in meetings that they have not experienced these promises. And I think it's because people don't realize they come, you know, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. So technically this freedom and this new happiness happens halfway through our amends, is how I've learned. And when I heard we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, my thought was I wanted to shut the door on the past. But after working step 9, making amends, and coming to peace with the people I had harmed, I no longer had to feel guilty or feel ashamed. And I no longer had to regret the past, because I can look everyone in the eye now. And the best part is I can use my experience to help others. You know, these steps enabled me to rid myself of the 400 pounds I carried between my ears. And we're promised the obsession to eat certain foods will be removed, and that we'll be given a new way of life that is so much better than the life we were previously living. And thank you, God, food is no longer my master, and I'm free from the bondage of food. And I do experience that new freedom and that new happiness that comes with these promises. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. So we are commenting on 3 awesome sentences at the bottom of page 83 in the 4th paragraph. We're commenting on if we're painstaking about this phase of our development through, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Who'd like to comment on these paragraphs?
Lisa B.
Lisa B. Laura H.
Lori
T. Mo H.
Mo H. and Lori T, I think, is might have what I got. Was there a Laura H also? Nope. Okay, Lisa B, Mo H, Lori T, anybody else?
Reggie O.
Kat T.
Sherry KB.
Reggie O, Kat T, and Sherry KB. Sounds like a great lineup. So I've got Lisa B, Mo H, Lori T, Reggie O, Kat C, and Sherry KB. Might be Kat P. Okay, please go ahead, Lisa, followed by Mo H.
Well, good morning, Elaine. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina, and thank you so much for your service. Thank you for all of the shares, this meeting and the other 2 meetings. I feel in so many ways like I'm a newcomer, like I have new ears and new eyes. I'm hearing things that I haven't heard before, but yet I've heard them. You know, I've heard them because I am recovered, but yet it's like all the same things that I've been dealing with my whole life, probably since I was maybe 5 years old, but at deeper levels. And that's why I'm so grateful for all the shares, because I hear myself in all of you, and that's why I love working with others. I hear myself in my sponsees that are really not my sponsees. They're just people that I'm lucky enough to work with and take through this work. You know, not regret the past. in step 10, you know, we are taught that it's the awakening of the spirit, and that it's about deeper understanding and being more effective. And that awakening began for me in step 9, completing all of my amends. I actually had 2 left remaining on my 9th step list of those that are anything that I was consciously aware of that I needed to complete for me for this to happen. And the awareness of being in this step and experiencing the promises, and I was also taught that these are the opposites of the devilment on page 52, which is what I lived in as an untreated, unrecovered compulsive overeater, the spiritual malady, this illness that affects my mind, my spirit, my body. So I was talking to a newcomer. I wasn't yet identified as recovered. I hadn't identified myself as a recovered person, but I was sharing the message with a newcomer. And I'm so grateful that I learned through the grace of my higher power and a good big book guide that encouraged me early on to call newcomers, even though I wasn't recovered, regularly, daily, call newcomers. Yes, call recovered people, but call newcomers and share with them that you're not yet recovered, but what are you doing, you know, to get recovered? And I was talking with a newcomer, and all of a sudden, I could tell that, oh my gosh, I'm recovered. I knew, I could tell that there was just a deeper understanding and something had taken hold inside of me, and it wasn't really even me sharing with this person. You know, it was this power, this energy that's in these rooms, that's in all of you, that was coming out of my mouth. And I hung up the phone when I finished with her, and I called my sponsor, because she had said to me, I won't tell you when you're recovered. You'll know when you're recovered. And she pointed out to me, you know, the ways to know I'm recovered. And it began in this process almost at the very end of the 9th step. And living in step 10, 11, and 12 today of that deeper understanding, I'm seeing more and more of not regretting the past, not being in morbid reflection. And the past could be yesterday. The past could be this morning. You know, mistakes that I make along the way all the time, that I trip over myself for my ego, and I see more clearly who and what I really am, but not have morbid reflection and just have gratitude, you know, that I am awake. That's the most wonderful thing, that I am awake and alive, and I'm abstinent, and I have a message to carry, you know, not a problem, but a message, a solution. So with that, I pass. Thank you, Elaine, for your service.
Thank you, Lisa B. Mo H., you're up next, followed by Lori T.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Elaine, for your service, and welcome to all those on the line, especially newcomers and those returning. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Oh, I'm so grateful to be able to share today. When I found Vision through a sponsor about 2+ years ago, and I went through the 12 steps again, the Big Book method, I was unraveling some amends that I had never made. Things were coming up, and they continued to come up. And I have 2 amends, actually 3 amends, on my desk. And yesterday, I decided I'd call my cousin up and make this amends to her that I had already made many years ago, but I felt it was very sloppy. And I mentioned, because I did not know how to make amends properly, just apologized to her for my behavior. And so I called her up, and we had a nice chat, and then I told her that I wanted to make amends again, but more formally. And she said, oh, yes, you've already done that, but I will listen. And so what it was I had refused to attend her wedding because of the judgment I made on her. And I really regretted that. And as I was out walking this morning, listening to the earlier meeting, I realized that the regret I had, I had no one to help me make that decision 30, 40 years ago, whatever it was. I wish I had all of you to help me make that decision, because today what I heard on the earlier meeting is that I can be of service to somebody else if they're in that place and help them make a conscious, God-conscious decision. Because I did regret that. But we had a nice conversation, and she did tell me that I hurt her, but that she loves me today. And I am so grateful that I was able to finally make that clean for myself. And then the one thing I heard on the morning meeting that I wanted to pass on is, when I stop chasing recovery, recovery will find me. And that's what's happened for me this day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. Lori T., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Reggie O.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Good morning. This will be the crying share. So if you'll all just bear with me, I called in this morning from moving. I was having trouble with the curio, just putting things, you know, packing the curio for whatever reason. And I'm sure it was mom. So all this goes back to, in January, I called in with a crying, shared a vision about how my mother was dying. And, of course, she did. And I had made a meal with my sister. So there was a bit of an opening with my sister. My stepfather, it had been, I had made the amendment, it was at least amicable. And so at any rate, my sister called shortly before mom was dying, because I wasn't there, you know, kind of anything you want me to tell her. I mean, that's still my sister. Anything I want to tell her. There's a lot I'd like to tell her. So I ended up, she could only show I had her hearing because she had dementia. And that was one reason for thinking about doing the, you know, writing or the kind of alternative living amend and those things. Anyways, the point is that God led me, thank God, through this program. I made that amend over the phone with everybody listening. I had to on speakerphone, the hospital personnel, stepfather, my sister, my stepsister, people that I'm not particularly close to. But after that, then they had this service. On the day of the service, my sister and stepfather wanted to do the business. And I said, you guys, I'm not doing business. I wrote mom's obituary. I was honored to do that. So anyways, by the time it was the right time for me to do all the business, mom, she left me enough to purchase a new home. I'd never owned a home. I've always rented. So today I'm moving into the home and I'm packing. And when you talk about a new happiness and a new freedom, there's so much I'm taking of mom there. And she got this for me, and I was able to let God, he was able to bridge us together from that moment and for the rest of our lives together, because there's so much about the house. Even the cellar, his mother had passed away. And we were talking about how it was both of our mothers who kind of brought us together. And this thing is unbelievably real and critical, and a new happiness. To me, it's a new and different happiness. It's a happiness like I've never known. It's a freedom like I've never known. Just not a new one that I thought I had before. Thank you. I think I heard you say time. The point of it all is that this really works, and I'm so grateful that I found just what I needed here before and today, and I'm sure I will in the future. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Lori. And Lori, you're not the only one weeping on that share. It was beautiful. Thank you. Reggie O., you're up next, followed by Kat T.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service. And I'm so grateful to be on this call this morning. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And just so deeply touched by all the shares. I listened to a little bit of the earlier meeting too, and these three lines are so very, very, very powerful. And, you know, I was thinking a little bit earlier how a pattern in my life had been that I thought if I began anything, I was supposed to be perfect in it at the beginning. And so if I wasn't perfect, I didn't consider, you know, often doing the work that I needed to reach the level that where I would want to be or where I thought I should be when just entering something, you know. And painstaking, this word that catches me this morning is painstaking about this phase of our development. And you know, I think about it, you know, and this is halfway through doing the amends, we will be amazed and we will have a new freedom and a new happiness, not regretting the past, no wish to shut the door on it. because we've not only been painstaking about making these amends, but we've done all the work prior to that so that we can make the amends, you know. And I just think even about the work of, you know, thinking of, oh, regretting my life and, you know, the way I grew up and some of the things I had to do and ways I had to be, but yet getting to do the turnaround piece where I got to see, yeah, but I played a part in that. I played a really big part in that. And not only that, but, you know, the part I played in the resentments I had and the fears and in the sex inventory, the part I played really harmed other people, you know, and hurt other people and kept me from, a bright and happy, useful life. So, you know, here is where I really get to turn that around and painstaking. And it teaches, you know, this is the process has taught and continues to teach me how to be painstaking in my daily life because I'm not done. I'm not done when I'm halfway through the steps. I get to see, you know, it's amazing to me. I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I heard these promises years ago in program that were in a meeting that I went to once a week and that was read every time, but we weren't working the steps. And I thought, wow, that's just so amazing. That is just so amazing. And here, working the steps, the way we work them here, you know, we get to honestly experience that and get to have the freedom. You know, my deepest desire, I could walk down any street anywhere in the world and, you know, look people in the eye and not want to run hide behind, you know, the nearest corner, around the nearest corner. I get to do that today. I get to do that today. And, you know, I've been through this multiple times when I went through the steps the first time and Vision, I've been through the steps twice in Vision. When I went through the first time, you know, I made an amends that had been on my list for 30 years, so long that I had not even had forgotten about it. You know, it just wasn't something I was going to do, couldn't do it, couldn't face it, and it just disappeared somewhere until, you know, those night step amends, I did it. It was a spiritual experience. I was, you know, free at that point. So I'm just eternally grateful for what we do here and for showing up here and the amazing what I get to hear every morning. I'm on the line, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Reggie O. Kat T, you're up next, followed by Sherry KB. Kat T?
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Hi, this is Kat T in Florida. I'm really grateful to be on this meeting and feeling grateful to be abstinent today and living in step 11 and 12 and to be reminded of being thorough in my amends process because I still have some that I'm working through and that are going to be ongoing for me. And I feel grateful that I have a higher power who keeps revealing the truth and to hear people on the line saying, you know, more freedom comes from making amends because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for more layers of the onion to be peeled, more truth and, you know, like abstinence makes and the steps makes it more clear what my underlying issues are, like what's going on between my ears, the resentments, the fears, the obsessions. And I'm definitely not perfect, and I'm just so grateful, like, God has given compulsive overeaters a way to become recovered, to become free, you know, just for today. Like, I just have today. I haven't been on a vision in a while, but I went to a meditation yesterday, and I bumped into someone in my area, and she was just going on about vision, and I just saw it as like a sign from my higher power to get back on, and I was inspired, and, you know, I'm on the line today, and, you know, I feel inspired to start a meeting in my area because I feel it's so important to have, like, face-to-face connection. Like, I really yearn for that, and I've been, like, praying and thinking about making a meeting in my area, a big book meeting. And I've been doing a lot of big book work face-to-face in my area, which is another blessing. And we're going to start a big book meeting. Like, we're lacking that in our area. And I just feel like I'm going to use vision as something to guide me. and so I feel really grateful, but also nervous, but I know God's going to show us the way. And I also too relate to the, you know, I need to help newcomers. I need to be reminded of the hell that I've been through, this disease, and like through the steps, it's like all that sickness, it's a story now. It's becoming more and more of a story where, you know, as I share my story, I'm more like detached, but I know I'm helping others and I can't forget that pain. And so like I went to a face-to-face meeting last night and I went in knowing I had to be of service. And I, you know, I can't have these expectations, but I still have them sometimes. And, you know, my, and by the end of the meeting, I was able to connect with someone who'd been, I don't even know how many years, it seemed like a 20, she was coming out of a 20-year relapse. And, you know, I was just able to connect with her and hear her story and, like, offer my number and, you know, any help that she needs. And she was asking me some questions and I was offering, you know, some suggestions. And I just felt so blessed to be given that opportunity to help someone because, you know, I've been given so much generosity through OA as a whole and Vision. And, like, I have to keep – is that time? I don't know if you, I forget if you guys time, but, I just feel so grateful. And I know I have to pass it along. I have to do 10 and 11 and 12. I have to do the 10 steps, the turnarounds. Like it, that's the miracle of my life to see my part and have my higher power come through. That's what's changing my life is the 10 steps.
Thank you, Kat.
I'm clear. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sherry KB, you're up next, and then we'll have time for one or two more shares.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful and recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. Sorry, I've got some sinus stuff going on. You know, when I used to see these promises all the time, and I'd see the word painstaking, I just would like, I don't know about you, but I'd see the word pain, and I'd go, I don't want this. I don't want to be full of pain. I mean, that's where I would go, and my disease would go. So, you know, fast forward, 4 years ago, and reading this book, working with a step guide, doing the work. Okay, so then, you know, what I've learned is I think I know words, but then I need to look them up. So painstaking means done with great care and thoroughness and pay close attention to detail. So that's what it's telling me is that if I pay close attention to detail and do this with great care, I'm going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. That is such a turnaround for me, and that's what this whole thing has been about. For me, it's been a turnaround. It has been a cleaning out, a new beginning, a new freedom, because the way I go about my life now is so different than the way I had been in the past. I'd been a slave not only to the food, but to my emotions, to my thoughts, and God was nowhere to be found in all of that. And the difference today is God is first one priority for me, programming God. And the freedom that I have is that the things that used to worry me, I have a skill set that can help me to get through anything now. I have a God that's bigger than anything that I know that can help me through anything. I didn't have any of that before, so when I had gone to make the amends, I had that all with me, my higher power, and I was able to, because of the, I understood my own self now around my selfishness, my dishonesty, my self-seeking and fear, that's what kept me from doing the things I was doing. And it changed so much because God got in there and unblocked it for me. I was able to go make an amends. And all that weight between my ears started going away due to making these amends and having better relationships and seeing people the way my higher power saw them rather than the Sherry show has made such a difference. And that's making those amends have freed me up so much, and you can have it too. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. We have time for about two and a half minute shares. Who who'd like to comment on what we read today?
Patty T.
Judy.
Patty and Judy. I believe it's Judy F. Yay.
Yay.
Patty T, please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for the shares this morning. This is Patty T from Southern California, recovered compulsive eater. That word painstaking too for me is like a neon sign. Because, on April 27th of this year, I was still chewing on resentments painstakingly. I mean, I was sucking the marrow out of the bones of those resentments. I could not let go of my past. I could not wish to shut, I did wish to shut the door on it. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you what hell I was in. And I had known recovery. I had had 5 years of a perfect abstinence. And then, fallen into relapse and chronically relapsed because of this issue, the fact that I could not let go of my story. And, I got back on this line literally out of the gift of desperation. I knew that I had lost the battle and that I was definitely going to lose the war. And I had to do something really drastic. So I, by the grace of God, was able to get onto this live meeting, and my life changed. And on April 28th, I asked God to help me become abstinent. And I had a day, and then another day. And I listened to this meeting every single day. And 2 weeks later, I identified as a newcomer. And I got a sponsor, and she took me through the steps, all 12 steps, within 2 weeks. It was unbelievable. And during that time, I was able to let go of so many resentments and take responsibility for so many wrongs, most of which I had done to myself, but let's be fair, I had hurt others as well. And, when it says, before we are halfway through, it's not kidding, and I have been working this program painstakingly. That 10th step, I have to look at that 10th step every day and go, okay, do I have a fight going on in my mind? Because, that's where it starts for me. I start a fight in my head with somebody that doesn't even exist in my life anymore. What? But that's my disease. And I am so grateful today because I am free from the obsession of food. I am free from the remorse and that luxury of self-loathing about my past. I am free.
Just a reminder.
And I just want to say thank you to all of you because your shares have helped get me here. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you to Patty T. and Judy F. You'll finish us off today. Thank you. Please
okay.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Elaine, for your service. Really good to hear you. This is Judy F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. I'm grateful to have off today and to be able to be here. And for this recovery, before I was recovered, happiness was so conditional. It was if I was thin, if my husband was happy, if I was happy with my husband, if I had enough money, if I had no issues in my life. And because of being recovered and going through, it was really these, we're in the ninth step. That's when I started really depending on God. I think I was acting as if before that and, doing what was directed for me to do and working four and then five, giving it away. And that gave me some peace, but really going to other people and admitting my wrongs, that was such a humbling experience for me. And I had to depend on God. No, I mean, God, had me abstinent, but it was really like looking at being exposed like that because I was such a prideful person. That's where I became really more connected with God. And that's what gives me the happiness today.
A lot of issues this year, death of my mother-in-law, death of my mother, issues at work, my husband out of work, a lot of stuff. And I can honestly say I'm happy and at peace because God is in charge and God is leading me. And the other thing, not having a regret, because, you know, I owned my part in things and then daily owning my part, you know, we get to do this 9-step daily to keep it clean. And that, you know, for one big thing, I'm not waking up regretting what I ate the night before. But the other big thing is, even if I do say the wrong, you know, a hurtful thing, I can clean it up right away. And so I don't live in regret. I live in discipline, though. You know, the pain of discipline is less than the pain of regret. And so the discipline is working 10, 11, and 12 and bringing this to others and doing my nightly review and catching myself and just depending on God throughout the day. And I'm just so grateful. Nothing, I did everything before this program of recovery, before the 12 steps to try to get free. And I thought free would be eat whatever I want and be thin. And I can be thin and the food just isn't even an issue. But more importantly, I'm free in my relationship with myself, God, and others, and I'm so grateful. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Judy F. And thank you to everybody who shared today. And we'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164. And I'll ask Kathleen O. to please read A Vision for You.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep